And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I thank you for joining me today. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions throughout the show, you can send those to me at askandy@luinc.com. I do appreciate your questions. Those inform, help me build, so to speak, a number of shows each and every week. So I do appreciate those. And if you did catch the show, it's been a few weeks now. I was broadcasting from on the road from Omaha, Nebraska. Now, we've since returned, my family and I, to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but hey, we are now out and bouncing around again in the, what I call the RV bunker. It's our travel trailer, basically, and coming to you today from the deep south. So went from the Midwest down back home, and now we've cruised out back east. We're in the, I'm looking out my window right now. In fact, these tall, tall pines in the middle of the piney woods, and I'm coming to you from paradise, so to speak. And on today's show, we're going to talk about building cash flow, creating passive income so that you can get to your own paradise, whatever that may be. That's up to you. You figure out what that is. You define that. But we're going to get you there. And stay tuned, because later in the show, towards the end, I want to talk about some of the things that you can do, right? We're going to talk about building cash flow, but we're going to talk about some of the things you can do to add even more cash flow to your rental properties. Make sure they're cash flowing better. You know, you find a house to rent and you plan to lease that house, let's say, for X amount. How do you make it X plus Y? Can you do that? Yeah, you can. So we're going to talk about that, and we'll talk a little bit about the Mississippi market as a rental market. Since I'm here, I did a little bit of digging, a little bit of research. Is it a good one to invest in, or is it not? Okay. So yes, I'm coming to you from paradise. And actually, that is the name of the RV resort park where we've been staying for the week. It's Paradise Ranch. It's about hour and a half south from the state capital, from Jackson, almost to the Louisiana border, and right on the banks of the Bogachita River. I've learned that's Choctaw for Big Creek. So we're deep, deep south in Mississippi. And again, like I said, just looking at the tall pines. I love those. Now, if I look a little bit farther out, I see a big pool. This huge, they call it the Blue Lagoon. It's got a zip line, all this kid stuff, big bouncy pillows, kind of like trampolines for my kid to jump on. He is in heaven here. My dog is, well, lots of places to hike, kayak, fish. I mean, it's been great paddling along among the big bald cypress with the Spanish moss hanging down. And that's paradise for us for the week. And that's where we're staying for now. And we'll amble onward, but it's great. If this is paradise, where is everyone? Well, everyone, they had to leave after the weekend and go in the opposite direction from paradise. Go back to work. Go to the job. Earning income. So how do you, I'm talking to you, how do you get to paradise? Well, you make the move from where those people had to go, from earned income, from the job, to passive income. You create cash flow. You build cash flow by investing in residential rental real estate. That's how my wife and I did it. You know, over a dozen years ago, we started buying and investing in single-family rental houses across the Dallas-Fort Worth area. That's where I'm based normally. And investing in apartments passively. We don't actively go out and buy these and self-manage, etc. The apartments, we're passive investors. We just find a good investment we're interested in. Does it meet our criteria? Park our funds there for whatever the plan is. And that, those two things, those have created cash flow for us, passive income. In fact, it's created enough cash flow that we could break her out of her job. It was far from paradise after just 3 years of being members at Lifestyles Unlimited. 3 years from the day that we bought that very first rental house, we got her out of there. And eventually I retired as well, you know, about age 47, in fact, 20 years sooner than the government would like me to have done. But that cash flow, that funds our lifestyle, that allows us to travel like we do, that brings us to paradise, or Paradise Ranch, as it were. How about you? Sound like something you'd like to do? How do you do it? That's the question. It's a question a lot of people have. I don't know how, you know, and I get it. I'll tell you, I'm going to tip my hand a little bit here. Buying and renovating leasing out and managing and owning and collecting the rent and the cash flow on a single family house, it's not hard. It's really not hard, but you don't know how to do it. And that's okay. So we do it first and foremost by creating cash flow, right, through our real estate investments. And I'm going to focus throughout the course of the show probably more so on houses. That's more identifiable for a lot of people, but you can invest in apartments as well. In fact, it's a very eye-opening thing for a lot of people when they come out to the two-day financial freedom seminar that we conduct at Lifestyles Unlimited. And on day one, we talk all about investing in houses. That's that how. And on day two, we get into apartments and people are just floored by the fact that, yeah, you too, you can do it. And that's what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited, by the way. We are an education and mentoring group. So if you don't know how to do it, well, we teach you how. How to do the due diligence to make sure it's the right investment for you, to make sure it is a good deal. And at its most simple, if I take it from the simplest level here, what are we doing? We're going out and we're finding a house. It's a distressed property. The house needs work. And because it needs work, we're getting it at a discount. And we're going in and doing that work. And we follow the motto at Lifestyles Unlimited, best product, best price. And that best product means, not that I'm over-renovating to the tip-top of the market, but that I'm going in and fixing everything that is broken now or could break in the next couple of years. Because I'm going to hold on to this. This is not a flip. We're going to hang on to this. You know, a lot of people think I flip houses. I do not flip houses. I fix these things up and we hang on to them and we lease these. And because we fixed everything from the outset, our what you might picture as maintenance nightmares and taxes, tenants, and toilets doesn't occur because everything is running well. Our maintenance expenses are practically zero. I choose to have my AC guy go out ahead of the summer and ahead of the winter months in order to check the AC and check the furnace. So I do incur a little bit of cost there. That's it. Best product, best price. And then you go out and you lease the property. And the focus of today's show is on cash flow. So we lease it, we collect that rent, and we do cover what fixed expenses we do have, which will be the mortgage, because we put a mortgage into place because we can leverage ourselves farther that way. When I have less money tied up in that property, I can buy more properties and create more cash flow. We're going to have that expense for the mortgage. We're going to have the expense of property taxes and insurance. Again, maintenance goes to zero. And the net that I keep every day is my cash flow. So the focus on today is cash flow. Though in reality, along the way, we wind up building wealth as well. Depending on your goals, you in fact may say, I don't want the cash flow right now. I'm happy with my job, making a good income, happy to stay here, love what I do. Great. Keep going. Well, you may be focused then on wealth building instead. And that's great. You can do both. In fact, we make money five ways on our houses. The cash flow that I've mentioned and will continue to mention because that is the focus today. But as well, when we buy right at the discount that I mentioned, well, you create equity. We call that equity capture, just through the process. You can actually double your money or more right now by buying a rental house that is distressed, that needs work, and fixing it up. You may put $20,000 in and come out with $40,000 in equity on the backside. That's a 100% return in just a couple of months. That's equity capture. And then because it is a rental and we are hanging on to that, our residents are paying down that very mortgage that I mentioned every month. That's equity buildup. Works a little bit in the background for us. You don't even think about it, but at the end of the day, you build more equity, and then the market does appreciate as you hang on to these properties, not to mention tax advantage. So we make money five ways. But again, cash flow. Cash flow is our focus today. And if I look at an example property, I got this in my email, in my inbox from one of the realty team. Where is this one? I get these from all over the place. Chattanooga. No, this one's in Houston. And this is a 1979 built house, about 1,600 square feet. I like that. Three bedroom, two bath, two car garage. Actually, this is not in Houston proper. This is in a very good subdivision, submarket of Houston. Purchase price, $114,000. But when it's fixed up, right, here's that spread. It's worth about $270,000. So we're going to have to do some work to it, clearly, to get there. Out of pocket, about $30,000. And equity capture, $45,000. So not even 100% return, but $150,000. But what's the cash flow? About $300 per month. It's a 12.4% cash-on-cash return. And I want you to remember that number. $300 per month, about, what is that, $3,600 per year. That's one house. Now, is one house going to get you to paradise? No, that won't do it. But it's the start. And you start to build your cash flow. You start to experience what we call the cash flow snowball. And you take those funds that are coming in, and you redirect those towards the next purchase. And you buy another, and you double that number. And by the way, we'll talk about this later, you learn to operate better and you take that cash flow number even higher. There are a couple of things you can do. Now, stay tuned, we'll get to that later. But you just keep adding cash flow by investing in the next house and the next one after that. And you'll This is the cool part. We teach you how to do it, and you don't fully believe how easy it is as we're telling you this thing, teaching you these things, but you'll find that it is very easy to repeat the process once you understand all the parts. They're not that hard to understand, but it's very helpful to have somebody show you the way. You know, when my wife and I started a dozen plus years ago, we had no experience in the industry. We had no idea. We'd bought one house once upon a time that was our personal residence that we lived up in Omaha, Nebraska, which is why we were up there recently. No experience besides that. Never dealt with rentals, never dealt with renovations, none of that. Had no idea. Seemed scary, seemed hard. But we came to Lifestyles Unlimited, and they showed us the way. And it was not as hard as we had portrayed in our own minds. It got very, very easy. And we just continued to wash, rinse, and repeat. 300 becomes 600, becomes 900, 1,200, 2,000. Where do you want to stop? 5,000? Well, what's your household? What are your household expenses? Financial freedom occurs when your passive income meets your household expenses. So if that's 5,000 per month and you've built up to 5,000 per month in passive income, right? You're covering your expenses. You're covering your cost of living out of your passive income. Do you need to work? And you may go farther. Maybe your income exceeds your expenses. I hope it does. Well, then you build up to that point. Now you've replaced your earned income with passive income. Now what do? Wow, you're financially free. You can become real estate retired. You can give that notice. You can become retired. And then you own your time, just like we do. Your time is yours. And you can go out and find that paradise of your own, whatever it may be. But I know it seems daunting at first. And that's where Lifestyles Unlimited can help you. Get an education. Get a mentor to stand by your side. Invaluable. And they can help you down that path. Now, my path has taken me to Paradise Ranch here in Mississippi. We're going to talk about Mississippi as a rental market when we come back. So stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Lifestyles Unlimited, the education and mentoring group with a roadmap and support to help you real estate retire.
Having the consulting team, having other avenues within your whole system is what's made y'all successful. Everyone is there to guide you to be successful. So it's just up to you to get off the butt and do it.
Do it. Take action today. Get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for $297, a 60% savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have any questions, send those over to me at askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. Yes, those will find me here in Mississippi or wherever I may be at the time. You know, on our way here, we headed east from the Dallas area, and you know, we made a long haul. We made a pretty big. I tried to keep my drives when pulling the trailer fairly short. We can do that. You know, you just kind of enjoy the drive, but we made a long haul and got to Vidalia, Louisiana. And if you don't know where Vidalia, Louisiana is, it sits right on the Mississippi, right across from Natchez. And we stayed there the night. And this was a nice little campground, and it had a pool, and it had a hot tub. And I had just one of those wonderful moments with my son. We were sitting in the hot tub, and for the moms out there, they're screaming at me, no, don't let your seven-year-old in the hot. It was more of a lukewarm tub. It wasn't super hot, okay? But the bubbles were going, and we were just sitting there. I had my arm around him, and we're just watching the Mississippi. You could see the river, this huge river. Such a history in our country, just flowing by, talking about Natchez across the way, talking about Mark Twain, talking about everything and anything. Just having a good old father-son moment there, and it was just wonderful. That will stand out in my mind, and I think that'll stand out in his mind. That stop in Vidalia was just simply on our way to Paradise Ranch here in Mississippi, and that brings me to Mississippi. So how is Mississippi for real estate investing? Well, one of the first questions I ask myself when I'm looking out of state, and I am looking out of state. We actually, Lifestyles Unlimited, I mentioned, was founded over three decades ago in Texas, in Houston, and grew up to the Dallas area, Central Texas, all over Texas, and is now well beyond the borders of Texas, has been for some time. We have offices in Arizona, Phoenix, for example, realty team in Missouri and in Kansas and in Tennessee, Georgia, probably some others I'm thinking about, forgetting about North and South Carolina, not in Mississippi yet. So regardless, and I know when Lifestyles makes a foray into a new, Lifestyles Realty, I should say, into a new state, one of the things they're going to look at is this a what we'll call a landlord-friendly state? What does that mean, by the way? Well, it means a lot of things. For one thing, no rent controls. And if I have to remove a non-paying resident, is it easy? Is it hard? Is it going to take a few weeks? Maybe a month? Or is it going to take a year? You've probably heard the horror stories on the coasts, up in the Northeast, over on the West Coast. And we have control of the lease. Ergo, it can be, you know, written as needed. You know, consult an attorney, of course. And Mississippi checks all those boxes. It is landlord-friendly in that sense. There are no rent controls. It is similar to Texas, as far as I've read, 3-day notice to remove someone for non-payment, and then follow the eviction process, whatever that may be. And interestingly, security deposit, just like Texas, no limit. So if I'm doing my due diligence on an applicant, and maybe I like them for the most part, they meet all the criteria, but maybe there's a blemish on the credit, I can double the deposit here, just like I can in Texas. Not all states allow you to do that. And interestingly, in Texas, I have to return that deposit, or at least do the accounting, if I've had any charges against that deposit, within 30 days from move out. Here it's 45. What does that mean? Just a little more time. Also, no limit on rent increases from the legal perspective, right? There's nothing that says I can't double the rent. Now, of course, the market will always dictate what I can do. And again, it's very easy, should someone not pay, to get them out of the property. So I like all that. That's all a very good sign. In fact, if you do any quick searching online, you'll see that Mississippi is one of the more landlord-friendly in that sense. Now, what about demographics? I always want to look at demographics and at the economy. Now, the state population, total state, about 2.96 million in 2022. When I was in Omaha, I think it was like, 1.97? So it's a little bit bigger, but most of the cities are smaller. In fact, the capital, Jackson, just north of us here, about 146,000. That's the biggest city. Next three behind it are Gulfport at 72, South Haven at 56, and Biloxi at 49. Those are 2023 numbers. And of course, a lot of those cities, some of those bigger cities, Gulfport and Biloxi, they're on the coast. So think about that as well, because a portion of Mississippi does reside on the Gulf Coast. Do we need to consider storms, and what is the impact on insurance? Yeah, you probably should. You know, storms have driven insurance up quite a bit in Texas and Florida. I don't know about Mississippi. Now, the statewide population, here's a little bit of the bad news. It's basically flat to maybe almost a little bit, just a smidge down over the past year or so. It increased several years, number of years in a row. But it's kind of plateaued. Jackson, unfortunately, has been declining. So the biggest city, the seat of the government here in the state, has been declining over the past few decades. Something to think about. Do I want to see more population or less? You know, we've been experiencing a huge boom in Dallas, which has been a big boon to us as real estate investors. What about the economy here? Mostly ag, right? Agriculture, as well as some manufacturing. It's getting a little bit more tourist-leaning as well. It is a right-to-work state, and that's brought a lot of the big automakers here. We do see a lot of automakers across the South. If you do any research in South Carolina, great market to invest in. You've got BMW, you've got a lot of the automakers there as well. What about income? Right? We want to see income. Median household income, this is statewide, about $53,000. Now, that's going to vary. That's the median, but it varies widely by county. Wealthier cities, some of the wealthier counties, were closing in on $80,000. That's a good number. Why is this important? Well, that affects my rent, right? As we said at the start of the show, I need to see that I can lease the property, number one, and that I'm able to cover my expenses and still have a profit at the end of the day. And as an investor, I want to see 3 times the rent in gross income. So if I take that median household income of $53,000, well, that would imply a maximum rent of $1,475 per month, which is not a bad number. Now, the cost of living is clearly lower here. And in fact, average rents actually seem to be lower, ranging from anywhere a little bit over $1,000 per month to close to $1,400, depending on city and location, property type, etc. Very interesting statistic. Now, home ownership, although Mississippi as a state has relatively low income levels, I think it's second behind West Virginia. It's got the highest home ownership rate of all the 50 states at 77%. That's per the U.S. Census data. Compare that to Texas, we're at about 60%. Wow. So if 77% of the people own their houses, maybe not just a ton of renters, but there is a market there, and it is landlord friendly. And ultimately, this does come back to what we're talking about today, which is cash flow. You want to get to paradise, you have to create that passive income. So here the question is, can you lease the property and adequately cover your monthly expenses and keep positive cash flow? So you should, if you're thinking about Mississippi, and I would, research how the taxes and insurance impact that cash flow. I know we have some independent rental owners here operating very well, owning small multifamily, just solo, doing very well. So think about that, though, taxes and insurance, what is the impact? And maybe one other variable. Because if you are looking to invest remotely, like a lot of our investors, a lot of our members that live on the coast do, talk to anybody from California, are they investing in California? No, they're investing in Kansas City. They're investing in Chattanooga. They're investing in Macon, Georgia. They're investing in Houston, Texas. If you're investing in Mississippi remotely, how does that impact your costs? It depends. Do you self-manage like I do, or do you hire a property manager? Let's talk about that in the next segment. Let's talk about remote investing. But in summary, Mississippi is landlord-friendly. That's great. But watch some of those demographics. Keep an eye on that. Now, let me underscore, I am no expert on Mississippi. I just happen to be camping here, right? So, and again, what if you're out of state? What if you do want to invest out of state because where you live does not make sense? Well, whether it's California or New York or some of those high-cost markets that are not friendly to us as rental owners. Well, an easy way to do that is to find those people I was just talking about, those syndicators, to good way to expand your geographical coverage. And I think about this as in terms of diversifying my apartment holdings anyhow, is to invest passively in those apartments in other states. For me as a passive investor, there's just not a whole lot I have to do. I need to know what I'm looking for. What are my goals as a passive investor? What sort of a hold period do I want to see? What sort of cash flow? What sort of returns on my investment? What sort of equity capture? What sort of gains on the back end? It's just simply then reviewing the investment opportunities as they come my way. And that's something I can do from here. In fact, I had one come across my inbox just yesterday. I don't know where that was. I think that was back in Texas, in fact. So yeah, I can be in Mississippi reviewing an investment opportunity in Texas. It doesn't matter. When you're investing passively in apartments, it's very easy to do. Now, you do need to be educated because you can make mistakes. You need to know how to read the private placement memorandum. If you don't know what that is, we teach you what that is and how to read it. The business plan, the financials, all the projections, everything that goes into getting ready to take down one of these apartment and communities. Education is paramount. In fact, while we were driving through Louisiana on our way to Vidalia, where the Mississippi is, it was a marathon. One of our longtime members, Lynn Murrow, presented and talked at length about investing passively in apartments. Talked about what's happened from the recession up till now. Some people did make mistakes. What happened? What could we do better? How can you do better as a passive, etc.? 7 hours. She talked for 7 hours. Boy, talk about education. A lot of information there. So we were tapped into that as we were driving, made the drive go a lot quicker for me. It was a long drive as it was, but that's apartments, and that's getting education there. You can do that. Lifestyles Unlimited does help you there. What about single family? And what about investing remotely in houses? And I bring this up in part because we are in Mississippi. We are talking about buying in other states. And I am in a group that is comprised of investors that are buying in a market that is out of state for most of them. And there was an interesting conversation going about, well, self-managing versus property management, having a property manager. Now, I personally been doing this a dozen years. I self-manage my single family portfolio. And yes, when I'm on the road, traveling around for however long at a time, I do it from the road. To be honest with you, it's not that involved. It's not that hard. What have I done since we've been traveling now? Check to make sure rents are coming in. Check to make sure everything's okay. It's been very hot in Texas. Everything going well there. We did have one AC, had a capacitor go down. Email or text the AC guy. He goes out and handles it. Nothing to do. So the hold period when it comes to single family rentals, nothing to do there at all. It's really the bookends. What I think of as the bookends. When you close out the lease, somebody moves out, you need to check it out. You need to do that accounting on the security deposit that we talked about. See if you're going to withhold any or not, right? Document everything. Get it ready for the next person and then get it moving ready in essence. So those are the two bookends. That's really where the work comes in. The middle takes nothing. And those two bookends really just come down to team. I would use a leasing agent. How do I get that property leased up? Leasing agent finds the client for me. Leasing agent can probably give me feedback on what work needs to be done. Have a good handyman. Have a good contractor, good general contractor perhaps in place that can go in and get the pictures, let you know what's going on, let you know what sort of deductions are due to the security deposit if anything was broken. And that's really it. It's just building the team and understanding the process. And again, the process, we help you with that. Education at Lifestyles Unlimited. But if you're not comfortable with that, that's perfectly okay. Easy solution is to find and hire one of those property managers. Now, they will naturally charge for their services. And since we're talking about cash flow today, just keep that in mind. So if you're planning to go out of state and invest somewhere like Mississippi or Tennessee or Georgia, wherever it is, I plan to self-manage. If you plan to hire a property management company, then put those costs into place when you're doing your analysis so you don't short yourself on the long run. Now, the good news is, whether you're investing remotely or you're investing in your zip code where you live, you buy that rental house, you've projected cash flow, let's say $300 a month, like that opportunity we looked at earlier. The good news is it doesn't have to stay at $300. You can actually build more cash flow into that, let's say, into that lease. And at Lifestyles Unlimited, we talk about this a lot. And for the apartment investors, there's a huge list. I think it's 30 things now that we can do to drive up net operating income. Now, some of that focuses on expenses, but a lot of it focuses on revenues. A lot of things you can do in the apartment space to increase income. Paid parking, renting or leasing washer dryers in the units, right? Pet fees, charging for insurance if they don't have renter's insurance. The list goes on. The list is very, very long for apartments. What about single family? So this is an interesting one. And I do have a few thoughts here, things I do, things other investors I've talked to do as well. And because I am in Mississippi and you might be thinking about Mississippi or some other state, some of the things you can do may be state specific. So be sure to inform yourself and do your due diligence. Talk with a local realtor, talk with a local property manager, perhaps talk with a local attorney. But here are my thoughts on gaining more income on my single family rentals. Number one, first and foremost, and I see too many people transgress this one, follow your lease. It's all in there. It dictates things like late fees and insufficient fund fees and trip fees. But too often people are soft and say, well, you know, circumstances, I'll let it go this time. And that becomes a bad habit. So if your lease says, I'm going to charge you $50 for the day one that the rent is laid and $10 per day thereafter, charge that. That's how you get added cash flow. Now, late fees are not a guaranteed thing by any means, and most of my resident base pay on time. Great. I like that surety. But if there is a situation, we charge that. We don't collect checks, but sometimes if there's an auto draft and the bank doesn't have the funds, there are insufficient fund fees. It's in the lease. If it's in the lease, charge it back. Trip fees. You send out a contractor, they've agreed the time with the resident. Resident isn't there. Trip fees, charge those. And speaking of maintenance, contractors, if it is something that the resident caused, be sure to recharge that. You shouldn't eat that cost. That's just eating into your profit. If it's the dog has been chewing on the blinds by the front door, replace the blinds, charge it back. And speaking of pets, I love pets. I got a big monster dog living with me now. Got him out of a shelter, rescued the guy when he was 30 pounds. He's now 80 and he's growing. So pets are great. But you should have in place in your lease a pet fee or maybe a pet deposit and pet rent. If I can think back 12 plus years ago when we moved back to the States from Germany, we had a dog and a cat at the time. Little dog, little cat. I remember one apartment wanted to charge me $500 per animal to move in. Wow, they're making some money there, plus a pet rent on top. So what do you charge? Again, that may be state dependent. I've talked to people that do $250 on pet fees up front, or $300, $350, $400. See what your market will bear. But charge that. And the difference between a pet fee and a pet deposit, let me clarify that because I see a lot of people get this wrong. A pet fee is non-refundable. That is income in my pocket immediately, whereas a pet deposit goes to the security deposit. That is refundable. I prefer the pet fee. I view that as accelerated pet rent. If your dog comes in and does damages today and dies tomorrow, at least I have that fill in the blank pet fee. And absolutely, whether you charge a pet fee or not, and you should, charge pet rent monthly as well. Look at what your market rent is. In my area right now, 25 is pretty normal. So I can get an extra $25 per month just for allowing one animal in. If it's two animals, now it's 50. How many animals do you allow? And last thought, we mentioned security deposits. Thing I'm seeing now, not sure I would do this, but there is fee in lieu of security deposits. Some people will collect a much lower security deposit on their rental house or none at all. And in lieu, they will collect a monthly fee. Now, if you think that person's going to stay for years and years, this is in your favor. If you think that person's going to keep the property well, that is in your favor. If you don't, you take a little bit of risk, don't you? If they do damages and you have to get them out after 4 months, well, number one, you didn't screen well. Go back to the education. Go back to Lifestyles Unlimited. Let us teach you how. But then you've missed out. Maybe better to have gotten that deposit. But that could be a really good place to go and push up those rents. So, hey, back to paradise. I thank you for joining me from Mississippi today. I'm enjoying it out here. We're about to get out and go do some more hiking and kayaking and enjoy that passive income all the while. You can do the same. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.